Welcome to show number 26 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. What's going on, everybody? Hopefully everybody is having a good day, and if not, we have a Sports Card Radio show number 26 to entertain you a little bit. This will more than likely be the only show this month, so I apologize for, less than three. We usually do about three a month, four a month on a hot month if I'm on fire. But this is probably going to be the only one. I am moving a week from today, and I do not have a place to live. So it's going to come down to the wire. See if I can get that lease signed before the end of next week when I have to move in. So hopefully my brother is out today working on all of that. And we'll see how that works out. But more than likely, starting April 1st, we'll have a much regular schedule. I finally will be moved in, and hopefully my internet is set up and it's not slower than a snail. But if it is, we'll still work it out. Check out sportscardradio.com. I know a lot of you visit that site, and I appreciate it. But we have a new section on that site. If you haven't been there recently, the Rookie Rolodex, suggested by Matt in Seattle. Actually suggested several things. This is the first thing I've actually put my finger on in terms of getting something done on it. But Rookie Rolodex, we've got a start, I think, of about 10 players. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to feature all their rookie cards. And so you can go there very quickly and see all their... And basically, we're going to be listing true rookie cards. There'll be some players that there's a very fine line, especially the ones recently that have just made it into the major leagues. Sometimes they have cards that are out now that have that rookie card logo on them, but they also have cards in maybe like 2004, 2005. So those are kind of complicated, and hopefully the Rookie Rolodex will help kind of iron out that a little bit. And I'll also have, you'll notice that I'll make a pick for a rookie card of my best, what I think is the best rookie card. You'll see that pick on there, and you could also, there's a poll on each player, and you can vote for their best rookie card. So go ahead and get to doing that. At least check it out. See how it goes. It'll get much, much bigger as time goes on. Again, starting in April, I can imagine we'll have much more regular shows. I want to do one a week, at least, preferably on like a Monday or Tuesday. And then we'll definitely start doing that, and the website will start cracking. So head on over also to Sports Card Radio, our fan forum. Lots of you have signed up. I want to thank everybody that has signed up, and we'll definitely do a show where I kind of run down everybody that's contributing considerably to our fan forum. And there's a couple people that off the top of my head that are doing a great job out supporting the show, supporting what I'm doing. So I just want to thank all you guys. You know who you are. And this, we have a contest running. The rules were, gosh, I'm stumbling over everything. This is going to be, I'm going to warn you guys right now, this is going to be kind of a not a very organized show. I don't have a whole lot in front of me in terms of what we're going to talk about. So it may not be a very long show, may not be very content rich, but at least it's something. Moving always sucks. Everybody that's out of their parents' house knows moving is not always very exciting, and especially when you're moving a considerable distance. So we'll see what happens, but I'm in the moving mode and not really in the sports card mode. So hopefully we talk a little bit about sports cards today. But we have a contest. It was a carryover from last month. I haven't done as many shows as I've wanted to because this month's been busy, but we have a prize now. I have never announced the prize, and the prize is a Joe Torre Sweet Spot from it looks like 2004. It's a jersey card, number 11 of 50. It looks like a really old jersey. It actually has Joe Torre in a Cardinals uniform. You can see a small, small piece of a stripe on the left-hand side. There's some stitching that runs through it. It actually is a very, very nice card. It's from 2004 Sweet Spot Classics, I believe. Number 11 of 50, Joe Torre jersey card. Not worth a whole bunch, but dang, this is still a really nice card, a really old piece of jersey on there. So this is the prize. Send me a picture of your favorite card to sportscardshow@gmail.com. Or another way to get an entry in, and you can actually get two, I guess. Send me a picture and sign up for the fan forum. Go to sportscardradio.com/forum, or just go to sportscardradio.com and you'll find the links to the fan forum, and just sign up. Make some posts if you feel like there's lots of people on there talking about things. We have our fantasy baseball league set up, and we had our draft last weekend. So I want to thank all of you that listen to the show and participate in that. It's not everybody. We have, I think, about half the league listen to the show, and half are from other parts of collecting, not necessarily of cards. But maybe we'll get them to listen to the show, and if not, at least we'll get them on the fan forum, and maybe they'll chirp in other places other than the smack talk that's going to be going on in the Fantasy Baseball 09 forum. There's already some people on there, so I appreciate them getting on that. So that's the prize, Joe Torre jersey card, serial numbered 11 of 50. The card number is SSJT, if you're really interested in checking it out in the Beckett. A couple dollars, I don't know what that would go for on eBay, but at least it's something. So get your entries in. It's going to run till the end of this month. March, what is it, 31st? We've got 31 days in this month. Yes, we do. So March 31st is the cutoff. Get me an email or sign up for the fan forum before then, and you will be eligible. That kind of runs down my business. Let's break it off with a little bit of sports card news. There's quite a bit. Actually, just one bit of news. Excuse me. Again, this is going to be a kind of a clustered show. But Panini buys Donruss. A lot of you probably have already heard this, but they have obviously had the exclusive basketball contract, I think, for the next 2 years, bouncing Upper Deck and Tops at the same time. Pretty hard thing to do. But Panini bought Donruss, so it gives them some credibility with a really fine company. I know people in the business. I didn't have a lot of direct contact with the companies. I always went through a wholesaler and things like that. So... But we'll see how it goes down. Everybody that I know that worked directly with Donruss loved the company, thought Donruss had a great staff and did great things with the products. They just didn't make a lot of money. So they got it sold to Panini. Maybe they'll be able to touch up some of the areas that, in terms of finances, and get Donruss more profitable, which it's going to be hard. I know making cards... Buying cards will make you broke, let alone making them. Anybody that thinks you can get up into the Tops and Donruss of the world and make a bunch of money, trust me, these companies are broke. I know Tops used to be a public traded company. I went in search for their ticker today, and it is gone, meaning more than likely their stock was under a dollar for an extended period of time, and they decided to just delist it, which is, it's actually a good thing, because just a little bit of stock news. Stock's been on a rally the last few days. I've seen my portfolio go, I was down a good 17-18%, which was, that was a lot of money. And now I'm down to 4%, down under 4% on my portfolio. So that's pretty good. I think the overall market, since I started really heavily investing back in November, I think the market is still down maybe closer to 7 or 8% in that time range. So I'm down 4%. It's not too bad. I'm technically, quote unquote, beating the market, even though I'm losing a little bit of money. But it was much, trust me, I'm in a much better mood than I was last week when I was down a good 14-15%. That wasn't fun, but it always is a good time to buy. I was buying lots of stuff before the rally runs up, and you'll see. The stock market should see a brief rally. We'll see if it holds or if it comes crashing down, but we'll see what happens. But again, I still think it's a good time to invest. Young listeners out there, don't just throw all your money into cards and autographs and jersey cards and things like that. Save a little bit of money. I tell you what I do. On eBay, I sell a lot of things on eBay. It's mainly just to get rid of it. It's not really for the money and things like that. So I save a good 25-30% of whatever I make on eBay goes directly into my stock portfolio. Whether or not that will work out in the long run, I don't know. But you've got to diversify, because if you pour all your money into one basket, technically speaking, that usually doesn't work out. Although, if you poured all your money into Pablo Sandoval rookie cards back when I told you to, you probably would have made some money. But that's just a side note. Again, we're getting way off topic here. Panini buys Donruss. I would expect Donruss to put out the basketball cards next year, because I did not see Panini putting out 12 products that next year under their name. Nobody's ever seen the products. At least with Donruss, they'll have Donruss can make playoff. They've got playoff absolute memorabilia. They got playoff contenders. They've got all kinds of things going on. Playoff national treasures. How about some national treasures basketball, baby? So we'll see what happens. It's gonna be interesting. We'll see if LeBron and Jordan and Kobe and Dwayne Wade, see what they do. See if they jump ship or not. I'm sure for the right price, they will definitely be signing for Donruss and Panini. But we'll see. An interesting side note, 09-010 Upper Deck Draft Basketball is coming out. So Upper Deck is not giving up on basketball, and I expect Topps and maybe some other companies to follow suit. They're going to capitalize on the rookies. You can show them in their college uniforms with no problems whatsoever. So that's what they're going to do early in the basketball season. Probably one of the first products out will be 09-010 Upper Deck Draft. It's going to have 16 packs. It's going to have 4 autographs per box. Going to be loaded up with whoever was drafted a couple months before, and there is no word on whether Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant will be featured in there. I guess LeBron and Kobe would have to be in their high school uniforms, or maybe even USA. I don't know if they could show them in their USA uniforms. I don't know if that's part of the NBA or not. Michael Jordan would obviously have to be in his UNC or his Laney High uniform. Hey, baby, let's put out some high school products. So we'll see what happens there. But Upper Deck's not giving up on basketball, and we'll see if the big boys make it into that product. But that's about it for news. We'll be talking about Wade Boggs later, show number 26, I do believe. According to CubsFan129, he wore number 26 for, I think he played for a couple different teams. Didn't he play for the Red Sox and the Yankees? I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe that was somebody else. But, gosh, I am way off the board here. There is no product. I don't think I'm going to do product release news today because there wasn't much but hockey. I could go back a week, but we kind of touched on a couple of those products because they'd been pushed back. So expect April 1st to get back to the product news. But after this break, again, this is a clustered show. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but we'll be covering a topic that will help you and your sports cards. So hang with us after this.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. She'll tease you, she'll unease you, all the better just to please you. She's precocious, and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush.
And thanks for hanging with me, even though you have no idea what we're talking about. And just consider us both in the same boat, because I don't know what I'm going to be talking about. I'm just going to be going over some things. We're going to be bouncing around. This is going to be, if this is the first time you listen to the show, I apologize for one, but go back and listen to some of our other shows. I think they're much, much better produced and much better put together than this one. This one's just kind of on the fly. I don't know what's going on with me this morning, but I'm just in a weird mood. Let's just put it that way. Let's talk a little bit about Steven Strasburg. This guy's in college, baby. We're not even talking about the pros here. This comes via my brother. And my brother's actually on the fan forum. He gets on there every once in a while, so and chirps in some of his expert advice every once in a while. So get on there. He's under the name Ryan, and he's also he has a counter ego or a side personality that he goes by Dr. Phil whenever he plays fantasy sports, although he might be changing his name. And if you go to the Fantasy Baseball 09 forum, you'll see what he's looking into. But Steven Strasburg is someone you mentioned to me last week. San Diego State pitcher, possible number one pick in this year's MLB draft. He throws in the upper 90s, 98, and he's been clocked as high as 102 miles per hour. So this guy can fling it. So keep an eye out on him, Steven Strasburg. We'll have his name on our website, so you can check it out there. Doubt he has anything. Obviously, he's in college. If you live in that area, probably very easy to get an autograph of his. If you're a TTM guy, through the mail guy, We have tons on our forum. Again, I'm pimping my forum every 3 seconds, but we have a lot of good things on there, including several people that are posting their successes and some addresses. And like I said, if you want Wayne Gretzky's address, that's on there. There's quite a few other players, email addresses, all kinds of things. I've got about, looks like, 3 or 4 people that are on there regularly, and I want to thank those guys. Definitely want to thank those guys. And they've actually given me an idea. I will be sending my own TTM autographs once I move, once I get out of this place and get settled in. Oh, geez. But I will be sending my own TTM autographs out, not to keep, mainly to see, A, who signs. I'll be posting when I send them, obviously when I get it back, what address I used. And when and if I do get something back, we will be giving it away on the show. Unless Kobe sends me that autograph that I sent him 10 years ago. Now, if Kobe sends me something, I may have to try to get him twice. But anybody other than Kobe, I don't really care about. So, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say that. Tiger Woods would be another one, although I already have him. I might keep the Tiger and the Kobe. So I'm warning you there, if those guys hook me up, you won't be getting that in a contest. But everybody else, I'm just kidding. Of course, if I got Kobe, I don't think Kobe signs. I'm sure people send him, I'm sure he gets bags of mail that could fit the apartment I'm about to move into. He probably gets that every week, so I doubt Kobe would send anything back. But I'm definitely going to send to some for sure guys. Definitely Wayne Gretzky. That'd be a sweet contest prize. We'll be doing that, and we'll be doing some other ones, especially the ones I see up on our TTM board at our forum. Check that out if you're interested in that. But Steven Strasburg, San Diego State pitcher, is probably going to be the number one pick. I'd get on him now before spring break hits and he's out in Cancun or Cabo, and he won't know anything. He won't even know how to sign his autograph after that point. So get him now. That's Steven Strasburg, possible number one pick. You heard it here first. Now on to this is totally off the wall, but this is for my boy Joel in, I believe it may not be Seattle specifically, but I know up in the Washington area. We're playing in a fantasy baseball league together, and he has a podcast. If you go to our site, Sports Card Radio, Sites We Like, Old School, New School Podcast, you can also search it on iTunes. They've done several shows, so check it out. Real funny stuff. Couple shows ago, Joel shouted out a little side bet. Wants to make a little side bet this year on our fantasy baseball. Who will finish higher? Who will have the better record? It's a head-to-head league, I do believe. So who will have the better record? $20 is on the line. Now, let me think. Let me look under my couch here. Well, it looks like I definitely don't have $20. But by the time the league's over, I will have $20, more than likely. So side bet, it for sure taken. And I was seeing if we could step it up a bit. Since it is a head-to-head league, I am willing to throw down. We could definitely carry it over. I'll do $1. I don't know how many guys are going to be in the league. I think only a handful are signed up now, but I haven't checked it in a few days, so I'm sure more are getting in. I think our draft is this weekend, so I'm sure more will be jumping in before that time. But every time Joel in Seattle and I go head-to-head, I'll be putting $1 on the line, and we'll carry it over. We'll probably play at least 5 or 6 times, I can imagine, unless a bunch of people sign up. So, and if a bunch of people do sign up, maybe we'll bump it to 5. Maybe I'll be a big baller and a big spender and bump it to $5 per match. Either one, you choose, Joel, I'm down. We'll just carry it over, and at the end of the season, we'll have the 20, and then whoever has the most wins and losses heads up. We'll get that extra juice. So if you want to do that, go ahead. I am down. And if you decide not to accept it, I'm so confident I might put you on the free roll and throw up $1 just on my own per match. So we'll see. Tough talk coming from someone who's never played fantasy baseball in his life. So those are just two little things. Now on to a little bit of a topic. I got a ton of great emails last week, and I apologize if I still haven't gotten back to some of you. Got a ton of emails last week from some regular listeners, some new, some with some great ideas. I won't share. We obviously went back and forth a few times on there, but kind of the general thing. I actually got 2 or 3 of them kind of in the same boat. kind of wondering what they should do with their collections. You know, I know it was either last week or the week before we talked about, it wasn't last week. I mean, we haven't done a show in a month. So it was like last show or the show before we talked about goal setting. And I think that's really important. Go back and listen to that little segment if you didn't catch it. But set some goals. I think that will get you down the right path. I think goal setting is good not only in collecting cards, but in your profession, in your personal life, in anything you do. You should set goals so you can work to achieve something, and then when you do achieve that, then you set new goals, and I think it's a really important thing to do. But in terms of sports card collecting, aside from setting goals, just kind of a theory I have, I know I'm kind of different. I sell almost anything. I have no personal attachment to almost any card I have, except for a very small percentage. And that brought me to, you know, an idea that I have with also with my stock portfolio, although my stock portfolio is also very weird. I am ultra long. Everybody's ultra short right now. If I wanted to make a bunch of money over these last few months, you just dump your money into ultra short stuff because everybody's scared. Everybody's selling. Everybody's getting out of their positions that they've had probably for a long time. Some people just want the cash right now. So if you wanted to make a bunch of money, go ultra short. But see, I'm not like that. I want to go long. I'm not trying to put my money in there and then pull it out a week later. Or actually, it's actually the same day. If you want to go short on something, you really should be doing it the same day. I'm just not that skilled yet. I can't do that. So I have a thing with my portfolio where about 10% of it I'm holding for the long term. I'm holding until the stock either doubles or it gets to a certain price point where maybe peers in its category get to. So say you buy the stock at 15 and you're looking for it to get to $25. So if it gets to 20, you're not selling. 22, you're not selling. But the minute it hits 25, you're selling. And that's a decent amount of my portfolio, maybe about 10%. The other 90% is whenever I can make a small gain minus the transaction fees. Usually in stocks, there it's $10 to buy, $10 to sell. So you need to be up at least $20, maybe a little bit more to sell the stock. So if you bought it at 15 and it's trading at 18, but you didn't buy enough shares to accumulate a $20 value, then don't sell it, you know, keep it. Why would you sell it for a break even or a loss? So, but most of my portfolio is there. If I invested, you know, $300-$400 and I can bring back in $350-$340, I'm selling as fast as I can. I don't care if the news is good for that company. I'm getting rid of it. Ring the cash register, as a guy in CNBC says. Don't be scared to ring the cash register is what Jim Cramer says. And let's translate that over into your sports card into your sports card collection. Wow, that was a mouthful right there. So in the gist of the emails I was getting yesterday, I'm not going to get into specifics because I don't want to throw these guys under the bus or anything like that. But in terms of your collecting, it sounds like to me a lot of collectors I run into, they're in the total opposite direction. They have about 10% of their collection that they're willing to sell, and about 90% is getting held. So, for example, in my collection, I have boxes and boxes of cards all over my house. I got too many cards. I got cards in the garage, cards I don't even care about. That's a lot of cards. Honestly, I have a very, very small box. It's actually a 2,000 playoff contenders football box. If there was a Tom Brady autograph in there, I'd be feeling a lot better. But it's an empty box. It has about maybe 10 cards in it. And those are cards. I have some Andrew Bynums in there. Have some other Laker cards. Have some Tiger Woods. Have some other things in there that I'm holding on for the long term because I like these guys. I don't want to just dump these guys for a $10 gain. I want to just hold on to them. If I sell it for a, you know, really hefty game down the future, I will. If not, then I don't mind holding on to these cards. But we're talking about less than 20 cards here, and I have well over 100,000 cards in my house right now. So I believe that that's where a lot of people go wrong in their collection. That their small box, I have a 2000 contenders football box that is filled with 20 cards, and that's what I'm keeping. Whereas most people are probably in the other direction. That box of contenders is what they're selling. And it really needs to be, it doesn't need to be like me, 90-10. I mean, a lot of these cards I can't sell. That's the main problem. I've been grouping them up and getting rid of them that way. And I'll probably just throw big boxes on eBay and say, hey, you get 5,000 cards for $15 or whatever. So we'll see what happens there. But you've got to unload your cards. I believe that you get into a rut. Like one of the emailers said, a lot of these guys just don't pan out. You can buy the best rookies, buy the number one, buy maybe the top five picks for the last 10 years, and honestly, you'd probably be losing quite a bit of money because not a lot of them have panned out. Not a lot of them have become super, superstars like people thought they might have been. And that's really where sports cards comes down to. Very few guys become superstars. Think about it. You know, if you're young and you're playing sports, you know, you might not realize how tough it is to actually get into the major leagues and become just a ball player. To sit on the bench is a miracle. Honestly, I knew tons of athletes growing up that were really, really good, really talented, far, far better than anyone in our age group, in our area, maybe even our whole state. And they are not playing in the pros. A couple of them are sitting on the bench. Tyrone Gross, I believe, is a running back for the San Diego Chargers. I believe he got hurt last year. He's had some injury problems. But he has, like, the rushing record for the whole state of California. At least he's in the top two or three. I know that for certain. But he had some academic problems and went to Sacramento State, ended up going to the Chargers, hasn't gotten broken through. I think he's on their practice squad there. But if he can get healthy, hey, if LT bounces, if they cut LT or whatever, then maybe he's got a shot. But that was one of the most talented persons I knew playing high school sports, and he's sitting on the bench, you know. And you have other people. Another guy I knew, Ricky Barnes, actually, he's probably the most successful person I know in terms of making it into the bigs. He got his he's actually a golfer, played high school golf with him for 3 years at Lincoln High in Stockton. Pride of the Trojans, baby. But Ricky Barnes plays on the PGA Tour. I think he just got his PGA Tour card this year. He won the U.S. Amateur, I think, back in 2000 or 2001, one of those two. Maybe it was later than that, I don't know. But highly, highly successful guy. Killed everybody every time we went out and played. Just killed everybody. And, you know, he's still not a big boy on the PGA Tour. People that follow golf still don't recognize him week after week on the PGA Tour. So just shows you can be ultra talented and it's very hard to become a superstar. And so that goes along with collecting. You've got to realize that 99% of these guys won't have any value at all, and 1% will have some value. And then it's that miracle guy that just shoots through, you know, the Mike Piazzas way back then, the Derek Jeters and the A-Rods and things like that going for baseball. Just a lot of guys just don't make it, or they're hot for a little bit. It always happens. You know, guys are sizzling for a little bit. We see a little bit of love, and then it always tails back. Just on a guy we just shouted out earlier, Pablo Sandoval, was nothing when I shouted him out on the show. Then they went up a little bit. We're talking maybe a 30-40% move, not much more than that. On some of his higher end, like his blue refractors and things like that, yeah, they probably saw more of a 50 to maybe even 100% move. But now they're back down, now that baseball season's not really going on yet. Nobody really cares about the Giants, although I do. You know, his cards have fallen back down. They're still probably selling at maybe a 10% premium, maybe a 25% premium at the most, from when I shouted out to you. So, yeah, you'd be making a little bit of money if you held long-term. But it's going to be up to Pablo this year. If he bats 250 and hits 12 home runs, nobody's going to care about him. But, yeah, if he slaps the ball around all over the field like it was late last year, then, yeah, maybe you will see some love. I've been seeing him on the fantasy boards. It's really right when you break through. So that's one of my first tips, is when the guy breaks through, freaking sell the card. Just move it. And that's always, it's always hard to do. It always helps if you have more than one. If you have two or three, not necessarily of the same card, but two or three of the same player, sell two of them and keep one. If you really feel like he has some long-term potential, go ahead and hold on to one. But the better thing to do would be to sell all three and then buy back a year later, because you could have done it with Pablo. Say you bought Pablo when I told you to, you would have gotten all his Bowman Chromes for under a dollar. And then they moved up to slightly over a dollar. If you grouped them up, you definitely would get more than a dollar, maybe closer to two when he was on fire. You could have sold him then for probably a 50% gain, even with fees, and then you could have bought back today for about 30% less. So you definitely would have been making money, and you definitely would have been better off to buy, sell all, and then buy again. You still would have had some money left over. So same thing goes in stocks. I do it all the time in stocks. You buy, buy when it's low, sell when it's high. Then when it retraces a little bit, you buy some more. And you just scoop it up again, especially if you're buying for a dividend yield and things like that. Just sell it when the stock is hot. Cash out, ring that cash register like Jim Cramer says, and then when the stock or the card or whoever it is goes down in popularity or something else kind of elevates over above it, then you buy it again when it's down in the dumps if you really believe in the player. But there's very few players that I believe in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even someone like Tim Lincecum on the Giants, I hate to... Again, like I don't have much in front of me, so I'm just going off the top of my head right now. But Tim Lincecum of the Giants, very talented pitcher. I have one card of his. I think I paid $30 for an autographed rookie card of his. I think it's still worth about that much. Didn't go up much. I figured if he won the Cy Young, I bought it the year before he won the Cy Young, and I thought if he won the Cy Young award, it would go up a lot, and it never did. Really, actually, it probably has gone down, and it's mainly due because there was a lot of products produced and things like that. So Tim Lincecum autographs kind of got diluted a little bit. But it just goes to show you, a guy like Tim Lincecum has a great year, does what every Giants fan knew he was going to do. If you saw him the first year he pitched, we knew this guy was just going to be blowing people away. But hey, man, this guy is an elbow twist or any kind of injury away from not pitching. And you never know. A lot of pitchers, it's very tough to sustain a career in the major leagues, especially as a pitcher. I think batters start to pick up your motion and pick up the movement on your ball because these guys are professionals. So I lean toward batters. I love power hitters. If you want to build a solid collection that you're looking to move very quickly, guys where you're looking to scoop and then move, look for power hitters, guys on big teams, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Red Sox, teams like that. Scoop them, move them when they're hot. So sorry, that was a really bad segment. I'm not even going to listen back to that. But hopefully that helped you out a little bit. The key point I want you to focus on, you can even post this on the forum if you feel like it, but think about your collection. You know, think about what percentage of your collection is on the block, basically. What are you looking to sell right away, and what are you holding? And I think you'll be surprised that maybe you have too much in that hold category and not enough in that sell category, because remember, it is very hard to become a superstar. Very few players' cards just go up and up and up. Nothing actually goes up and up and up. We've seen our economy fly up and then obviously come crashing down. You know, the fundamentals of the United States have not changed. People here still have jobs. People still have money. There's people still with a ridiculous amount of money in this country. But our economy crashes. Same with baseball players. You know, players like Derek Jeter and Tim Lincecum and Alex Rodriguez. Obviously, there's some off-the-court things that go on there. And there's some age and getting long in the tooth kind of thing that goes on there. So not every player. I can't think of a player that just goes up and up and up and up and up. The only athlete I know of, there's only two, I think, that you could think that somewhat go up and up and up. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, although Tiger's had the knee injury, and I know his autographs get diluted just a little bit, although he's not very, very free with the pen. But Michael Jordan's cards have gone up and up and up, although if you've bought at peaks, like around the times when baseball cards and basketball cards in the mid-90s were really hot. I know Jordan rookies were selling for ridiculous amounts of money. If you bought then, you'd still be in the hole today. But for the most part, his cards have seen a fairly steady upwards. And we're talking about two of the greatest athletes ever, not just in their sports, not just in the last 100 years. We're talking about ever. So two guys out of the millions and billions of people that have tried to play professional sports, they're the only two guys that I could think that have gone up considerably year after year, a steady gain. You've seen some peaks and valleys, but for the most part, it's a fairly steady gain with those guys. So get your card collections. My challenge to you is to get your card collections in more of a sell mode. You don't have to sell, but just feel like you're going to part with some things more. Realize that you can buy the exact same card back probably a month later, 2 months later, a year later, for the exact same price or less. So more than likely, it's going to be less. So sell your cards when they're hot. Move them out. It will help you in the long run. Why will you want to just spend and never unload? I don't know. So hopefully that will help you out. Think about the 90-10 rule. I have the 90%. I'm selling 10%. I'm holding, although you're not always very successful in that. I think at least a 50-50 mix or a 60-40 mix will be good for you. Same thing if you're interested. I know I have get emails about stocks and stuff like that. Same thing with your stock portfolio. It's even more important there that you ring the cash register, because stocks go up and down more violently than basketball and football players. So get it to a 90-10 ratio, 80-20 ratio, where you're holding 10 to 20% for a certain price point or a certain dividend that you're looking to collect maybe every month. And those are cool. There's plenty of stocks that you can look to buy in at a certain yield and just hold. But if you don't want to do that, get a lot of it on the block. Once you can make a 5, 10% profit, sell it, sell it, sell it, sell it. My same advice goes to cards. Hopefully that helps you out. But after this short break, sorry, I think we only had like one or two segments here, but it'll make it easy to mix this thing down, I'll tell you what. We're going to have Wade Boggs. I believe he's number 26. If Cubs fans 129 said he was number 26, he's number 26. I don't care if he is. We're going to be talking about Wade Boggs after this. And we are back to talk very quickly about Wade Boggs, our boy Wade Boggs. Probably a very underrated baseball player in my eyes. Probably a fairly safe bet if you want to load up on some safe bets, some Hall of Famers and things like that. Probably his stuff isn't going to go down very much, and you might see a slight rise over the years. Very small gain year after year from Wade Boggs. So he's not really doing a whole bunch. I think he might be coaching. I could be totally wrong, but looks like his baseball cards, not too valuable. His rookies from 1983, it looks like there's a Topps, Donruss, maybe even a Fleer thrown in there, a couple different ones. His Topps one's probably the most recognizable one. Could all be had for under $10. You can get some higher grades, obviously, for a little bit more, but fairly affordable for a very, very solid baseball player throughout his career. Looks like autograph baseballs. Looks like you can get JSA and PSA DNA, things like that. Between the $30 and $60 range, $60 for the little bit higher quality, for sure COA and things like that. So not too bad. That's about all I've got on old Wadey. $30 to $60 for some autographed baseballs, fairly affordable, especially if you get it in that $30 to $40 range. I would consider that a fairly good buy, especially if it was like JSA or PSA DNA, things like that. Very, very, very nice card. Very nice baseball, actually. And his rookie cards, I actually sold one a while back. It actually went for more than $10, so I'm surprised. I got on here and saw mine was in really good condition. I think it probably would have been a PSA 8 or 9 at least, probably closer to 9. So maybe it was a good sell. So we'll see about old Wade Boggs, but his cards are not too bad. I would consider him a very safe bet. Go ahead and scoop it and feel comfortable that they're not going to go down very much, and you'll see a small, steady rise over the years. And you might be able to sell 5 to 10 years from now. You never know. But that's Wade Boggs. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And if you're a keen listener to music, you'll realize, and we might run this for the next show and maybe the next couple months, I am actually a closet fan. I guess I'm coming out of the closet now. I'm a big fan of American Idol. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant show. I know you either love that show or you hate it. I love it mainly because I always watch up until like the last few weeks, because the last few weeks people always are winning. By then, most of them are going to have record deals anyways, and they're really talented. And they're already confident at that point that they're going to have a career in music. What I like to see is the opening rounds when you have all these people fighting for their position there. You see someone go from, you know, really nothing, very shy, just hoping to have a chance to becoming a superstar, to becoming a big music legend, a big music industry person. I really like seeing that transformation. You see these people literally off the street most of the time all of a sudden become one of the bigger names in music, at least for a short period of time. And some, obviously like Carrie Underwood and some of the other winners of the show have gone on and had huge, huge success because of the show. So that's why I like the show. And if you're if you watch the show, you realize that all the music, and probably for the next couple of weeks, is going to be off American Idol tracks. People getting up there, do their karaoke rendition of the song. So hopefully, you've enjoyed that a little bit, and hopefully you enjoyed the show. The title might be the worst show ever in the 26 that we've done. This one was very, very disorganized, and I apologize again if this is the first time you've listened to the show. Check back our other ones. I think they're a lot better. But if not, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Check out our website, sportscardradio.com. The fan forum is there, rookie Rolodex, sports card release dates, complete show notes, all kinds of things to keep you in touch with the show, as I will probably, more than likely, be taking a week or so off, getting moved in, getting my internet set up. Definitely not TV. I'm having a lot of luck streaming everything, including American Idol, on record and things like that. So why would I pay $80 a month when I only watch about 5 or 6 shows? They consist of American Idol. I watch a lot of poker. I don't play a lot of poker. Play a little bit. I've been having some luck recently playing, but don't play a lot. I definitely don't play high stakes. I never have more than $30 or $40 in my poker account, so I'm always playing the little nickel 10 games, but they're fun. I have a lot of fun with it. Sometimes make a little bit of money, but more than often, it's just for fun. I watch a lot of poker on TV. That all comes in for free. American Idol, I don't know if it's legal, but I'm watching that, and I'm able to catch some basketball games and stuff. Whenever they're on ABC, I can always catch them on Ustream and stuff like that. Comes in really, really good. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I know March Madness just started, I think today or yesterday. So definitely I'll be checking that out. I know that's on the web. I think you can watch like 4 or 5 games at once. I actually saw a Google ad on one of our websites. I didn't click on it because that would get me in trouble, but went to CBS. It looks like you watch most of the games there. So, you know, I'm not paying for that stuff. I might end up getting an antenna. I know I've got an HDTV. I think you've got to get some kind of like special antenna. But if I had NBC and ABC and Fox and things like that coming in, I could just watch American Idol when it was on. But it's so much nicer. I mean, American Idol has like 5-minute commercial breaks because they make a lot of money. I'd run probably 10-minute spots if I had that show. But it's nice watching on the internet because they always delete out the commercials and it just kind of goes through. There's my phone ringing. Hopefully you guys can hear that. But that about wraps it up. That may be the sign to wrap up today's show. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. And until April, I think, unless I get all my internet set up and move goes smoothly, which it never does, this is probably the last show until April. But expect that. Remember, we talked about goal setting. My goal is to have one show a week, every week, at least, possibly more if it's some big news. And during some of the big sports, I know Chicago has a big sports card show. We might try to do one a day at that point. But we'll see what happens. But April 1st, probably right around that date is when I will be back. But until then, hit up our website. I'll be on our fan forum. You can talk to me there. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Get your contest entries in for a Joe Torre Sweet Spot Classics jersey card, serial number 11 of 50. Send me a picture of your favorite card or just sign up for the fan forum and check it out there. And you'll also notice on the fan forum there are exclusive contests for posts and things like that, and I'll come up with more on that site. So if you want to win even more stuff, there's more chances for you to do so there. But until then, hopefully you all have a great week or a great weekend. I'm stumbling at the back half of the show, so just a great ending for such a clustered show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Send me an email, check out our website, our fan form, whatever you need to do. I will be back in a few weeks. But until then, take it easy. Good luck with your collections. I am out.